Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, December 17th, 2015. Almost to the end of the year, just one show next week, and what would that be, the Christmas Eve show? That'll be interesting, and I'm not going to give you a topic, but tonight, part three, now, of what I call free living. Tonight's show is the most important of the three-part series, because here is where we talk about going into the future. The specific topic, how to live with modern technology education in a primitive, eco-friendly world. A lot of people think that when I talk about free living, what that means is you own your house, you own your transportation, your communication, if you have musical instruments, whatever it is, you own it. You don't have bills. You're not on credit. Your energy needs, if you're heating in the winter time or whatever, that energy is filled by, say, wood heat or whatever source of heat. You could even use a wing generator to create electrical heat energy directly from the wind, etc. So all of your needs are met basically without cost. And of course, this is not 100%, but we all need, we're going to use money. And remember, a very good point, I was on the interview with Roger Landry and Randy Maugins from the Liberty Beacon, the other that was a number of weeks ago. That link is on my webpage. Something everybody should listen to is that interview. It's near the top of my homepage, the Liberty Beacon interview from one of the points that Roger made is that we sometimes say that money is the root of all evil. Well, no, money is a tool. It's like a spoon or a fork or a table knife or a butter knife. It's something we use, but the use of it, and the greater point that he made was that the people who create and manipulate money for their own uses and devices and control, that is the root of all evil. And so money is simply a convenient way to do what was done from since the beginning of time, and that's bartering. I've got a dozen eggs, and you've got a pitcher full of goat's milk, and I want some goat's milk, and you want some eggs. It's pretty simple. But if I don't want your goat's milk, but I want something that the guy over there has, and you know, the three-way bartering, or four- or five-way, then money comes into play, and it's a handy medium of exchange. And the whole point is that once people get greedy over money, start to hoard it, need more and more, use it as control and a way to manipulate and control people, governments, court systems, whatever it be, wars, tax, interest on money. All of this was outlawed in the ancient texts. So sure, we're going to need money, a way of a medium of exchange, etc. But now they're trying to creep in with computerized money, digital money. And that's the precursor to the worldwide cashless society. It's already going into place, and that's truly the mark of the beast. And that's why it's imperative that people that realize this just dump the society now and get out of there. It's time to just bail, to use that's a funny word to use, because bail is literally the demon worship that goes on in the banking industry. You have to understand these people base their demonic systems on basically demon worship. And bail is at the center of it. So when I say bail out, remember the term bail comes from bail. Anyway, that's a complicated linguistic story. Not going to go into right now. But how do you live when you go back to basically go back to the land, buy your property, get your house in order? And I know people that have done this, and they don't live in the nicest house in the world. They're fixing it up while they live in it, you know. But there's a bit of happiness that goes along with this, a bit of freedom, the idea that you're shedding that cloak of modern society. You dump the television, you know, the kids learn to do other things besides watching TV and playing video games and organized sports. I'm really aggravated with organized sports lately. I used to be a big football fan, but the problem is it's become controlled by money, and even college sports is totally dominated by big money. And so it just gets sickening. I just don't even like to turn on the TV and watch it anymore. It's, you know, it's just too controlled. Game fixing. You can see coaches fixing games. It's just sick. So anyway, heck with that. I'm done with it. One is repetitive. It's from past weeks. It's called Scepter, which is a mnemonic which stands for science, communications, engineering, press or media, technology, education, and resources. Now, these are things that are controlled 100%, 110% by the world banking community. The Rothschilds' worth, this is physical worth. This is not money in the bank kind of worth, because they print money. They can print as much money as they want. So this is a physical worth ownership of resources. For example, the Rothschilds bought up all the zeolite in the world. They bought it and control it and contain it, and that could be used for cleaning up Fukushima, but they're sitting at it. These people are just plain evil. They're just sick, evil people. But these are the things that they control. I mean, science, communications, engineering, the press, technology, education, and resources. And one of those resources is government and court systems. Those are resources. They can own and control these through their money. So anyway, by becoming independent, what you do is take all that back. You dump that, everything that they've done. That's why they're deathly afraid of people moving away and becoming independent. They don't want that. They want you to be fear, listen to the evening news, all the fear-mongering on the evening news, the money system, the stock market, the jobless rate, the housing crisis, the ISIS crisis, the crisis. Everything's a crisis and in chaos, and they create more every day. But by becoming independent, you dump all of that. Now I'm going to read a list of other things here that become part of your free living lifestyle. Music, communication, travel, food, water, health, energy, education, social development, physical and spiritual development, family values, agriculture. Let me just stop with family values. Are they ever doing everything under the sun to destroy family values? Continuing. Agriculture, seed saving, value of work, reflection, in other words, sitting down and just thinking. Kids don't have time to sit down and think today. They're just occupied 24/7, and as a result, they get out of high school, they spin around, and then they might go up to college or find their career, and they really don't know what's going on. Science and engineering, mix of modern and old styles of living. So just understanding how to use a shovel or a hammer or a handsaw or a chainsaw or an axe, or, you know, and all of these require safety and experience, and, you know, maybe cut yourself a few times and you go, oops, don't do that again. But teaching kids safety. I learned all of these things from adults when I was a kid. And some things I had to learn on my own, and if I didn't know how to do things, to find people that did and show me how to do things as I went through life. And let's just take the first one, music. For kids to become proficient with musical instruments, it takes a long time and a lot of practice, concentration. And they also say that musicians and mathematicians tend to be in the same ballpark, because you have to concentrate. You can't be distracted every 7 seconds. They say right now that the attention span of the average child, youth today, is 7 seconds. How on earth can you do a mathematical problem or a complicated physics problem when your attention span is 7 seconds? You see these kids sitting at the table, and they're moving back and forth, and they can't sit still, and they got them moving around, and they're jumping, and the table is shaking, and oh my goodness, you know, this is insane. When I was a kid, I took up guitar and had kind of a cheap little guitar, but I learned how to play it. And eventually, when I got old enough, I was able to buy my own guitars, nicer guitars. But it's and I was never a great, great player. But, you know, it was something to develop. It also, I played piano. We managed to get a piano from a relative when I was a kid, and so I played piano. We didn't have any money for lessons, so I just sat down and played the piano. And then eventually I got formal lessons for upright bass, for the string bass, using a bow like a concert style, and eventually became a player with some jazz bands for quite a while when I was young. And someday, if I get time here, I'd like to go back and do some of that. Those are important things. You don't do that the way kids are raised today. They don't have time. You can't learn instruments or music in a 5-minute time span. You need hours. You need time to concentrate. And the other thing is families, people, kids especially, need time to just sit down, relax, and reflect. You know, sit around a campfire, talk about things, talk about just, you know, what you did today, what you did yesterday, what you want to do tomorrow. These are all important things. So communication was the second thing, travel. We always think of travel as being an expense, something that's very expensive to do. And so we're entering an era where people are going to start to communicate with other people, especially if they're in eco-villages or in places where they have, say, property and they get to know other people. They have guests come over, you know, stay a little bit, and then they go to some other place and stay. And you know, this is the kind of thing that if you have time and freedom, that it's a myth that you need a lot of money to travel. Because I do a lot of traveling. I don't stay in hotels. I'm not going to tell exactly all the places I stay, etc. But traveling can be very, very inexpensive. And especially, here's the trick, what I found. If you go to, say you go to Cancun for a week, you call a travel agency or you go online, you get your package, whatever, you're paying, you know, $1,000 a person per week, something like that. Maybe not that much, but somewhere in that ballpark, $500 to for a cheap trip. But if you're going on something decent, you know, $1,000 for a week per person. Now, you can go 2 months to Europe for that same $1,000. Understand that you would buy your food in a restaurant, or not in a restaurant, you'd buy your food at the local grocery store. Don't go to the big city, go outside the city, stay 50 miles away, and then take a train or public transportation, or even rent a car. Car rentals are very inexpensive recently. And so you can stay for months at a time. But most people go, well, how am I going to stay for a month and 2 months in Europe? Well, if you're working a 40-hour-a-week job, you ain't going to do it. No. That's why you got to dump that, find another lifestyle, find a way to make a modest amount of money. Let's look at the $60,000-a-year income. That would be considered a very reasonable, better than middle-class income. So let's say you're making $60,000, and hey, let's throw in the wife making $60,000 too. Let's say you have $120,000 income per year. Now, what happens to that? Well, either you buy a big house with a big interest payment to get that tax deduction, or you're going to lose about $40,000 to $45,000 of that in taxes. That gets you down to about $75,000 left out of that $120,000. Now, you start whacking away at car bills. You buy some cars, okay. People tend to spend what they make. Now, typically, if you lived out in the country, you had your house paid for, you owned your cars, you could be taking that money, turning it into an investment in, say, gold, or something like that, which will last through an economic crisis, and you could literally be putting that money away. And I know people that are doing that. And I didn't do that when I was making big money. I worked in industry, things like that. I tended to spend pretty much everything I made. And it'd be nice to have all that money saved up in a bank account now. But remember, a lot of that would have gone down the tubes in the planned recession. Remember that recessions are not some random thing that happens automatically. These are planned. They're a way for the people that own the money, that create the money, the evil people out there, the bankers, the banksters, which I like what Roger Landry says. He says that's a combination of banker and gangster, which is exactly what's going on. These people are ruthless thieves, and that's why the banking industry has to crash. But, you know, that's already happening. But how are you going to solve this problem yourself? You're too small. You don't have enough power to go out and destroy the banking industry. The only thing you can do is simply leave. That's the worst thing you can do to the banksters, because they want you afraid. They want you at that 40-hour-a-week job. They want you there steady Eddie with the wife working a job, and you're in chaos, and the kids trying to go to school, and you're paying for two cars in the house, and everything's, you know, on credit. Your credit cards are maxed out. You're trapped. So the only thing you can do is just get up and walk away. Take a few weeks, save some money. Don't pay any bills. Take the money, go out and buy a piece of property out in the country, and hey, adios amigo, goodbye. And then start living a life, live on cash. That's what a lot of people do. That's the solution they find. After 3 or 4 years, hey, all those bills collectors are going to go away. They're going to finally stop calling. And because they realize they're not going to get any money out of you. They got to go and try and squeeze it out of somebody else. But anyway, that's the solution. And when I talk about states breaking away, that's exactly what's going to happen. States can't afford to be associated with the federal government anymore. That it's simply not in the cards. So anyway, once again, now why am I talking about this? Because if we are going to succeed as a human race, we have 7 billion people. A friend of mine I was talking to the other night, remember that when I was a kid, there were 2.5 billion people in the world. Now there's 7. That's almost a tripling in the last, 40 years. And if that triples again, which it will, because the poor nations are having kids like crazy, the United States went from 270 million people 20 years ago, before the influx of illegal aliens. Now it's grown by about 50 million, up to about 330 million, and all of those people are having babies like crazy. So the baby rate, those people are going to double. The United States in 15 years will be a country with 1 billion people. Think about this. Think about what's going on here. It cannot sustain. So do you want to get out now, or do you want to wait till a real bitter end? And so here's the other thing. I'll just quickly mention this about the whole alien issue. What's got to be done is these people, you know, the majority of aliens in the United States, whether illegal or trying to get citizenship, which is a very long road for most of these people, most of them will never get it. What they really want to do is they want to live in their home country where their family is and stuff like that, but there's no opportunity there. And so the way to solve the problem is simply create opportunity in those countries. It's far less money. And with the American economy, it would be a simple thing to create economies in those countries. But what's going on? The only thing our president does is create war that destroys. And that's how they stay in power. That's how the money gods stay in power. So your solution is to move into a state that's going to go independent, get some land, start planning on the future, start bartering with friends and neighbors for products that you need, basics, and then look into the future. Start developing. This is my list again. Music, communication, travel, food, water, health, energy, education, social development, physical and spiritual development, family values, agriculture, seed saving, the value of work. Very important. Understanding that physical labor is good for you. To get up out of that chair, get up, take that TV channel changer, throw it in the garbage, throw the TV in the garbage. and start working, and it gives you a sense of satisfaction that a lot of people don't even understand today. Reflection, science and engineering, mixed modern and old style values. But tonight's show, I want to talk about the future. If we are going to save the human race on the long scale, remember, we're just scrambling now to even exist on the most rudimentary level. That's how bad it is. The United States has got the United States is the spearhead around the world, the CIA and the NSA and the corruption that they create around the world, the installation of governments that are corrupt, money-hungry people in those countries that steal the resources and the taxation, etc., that are supposed to go for infrastructure being stolen by a few families and becoming super rich while the rest of the people live in squalor. The international trade agreements, which create international workforce, trying to drive all the workers down to that same 5 cents an hour type of job. Everybody is equal, destroying the medical community that existed in the United States. 20 years ago, the United States had a decent medical system. Now it's trashed. I don't know a single doctor that even likes his job anymore. They hate it because they're not doing medicine. They're just, so the thing is, you got to become healthy so you don't need the doctors. You don't have to go there. But if the human race is going to expand into the future, if we're going to have a technologically advanced race, which can put many people into outer space, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in outer space, and that is the only way that the human species will survive. Because eventually, I guarantee you, maybe it's not going to happen this month or next year or the year after or even in the next 10 years. But this planet is going to get nailed from outer space. All of the chaos and confusion, all of what NASA does is designed to prevent you from realizing that little point, that your birthright is amongst the stars. As a human race, as a race that has developed and is intelligent, has the capacity to change their environment, realizing how to get into outer space. And I'm not talking about space shuttles or rockets. That's not the way to go into space. I've talked about this in my book, The Diamond Principle, that there are the electromagnetic propulsion systems are the way to go into outer space, and those designs are developed. I've made them public. The issue now is simply to go into space in numbers. And so this is the point, that when the kids are growing up today, because the parents' generation is kind of passed by, we have to start looking at the youth, the kids that are graduating from college now, prevent them from going into government-controlled science. Get them working in independent science programs in states that have broken away from the federal government. All this legislation that somehow the federal government controls all science projects no matter where they are in the world. This is insanity. This is a bunch of control freak, psycho control freak morons that are trying to prevent the human race from getting away from the bondage of the monetary system, of the banking system. They want so much debt in the federal government that you are bound to pay that it could never be possibly paid off. Remember that the national debt grows by who knows how many trillions every year. It's absurd. You know, they're loaning money. This system is completely contrary to the natural law of how things should work. You know, interest was outlawed back in the old texts. Everything that's happening today has been outlawed in the old texts because, you know what? It's all happened before. And when it happened before, they outlawed it. And these people are the con artists that have come through history. They're doing it again. That's why I say we have to eliminate them. I'm using the word eliminate. We have to eliminate the banking system, the institutions, everything that is associated with them, and never allow them to come back again. But understanding that when you break away personally, you go away, you get your land, you start living there, the state you live in starts breaking away from the federal corporate banking monopoly, that also you have to include in this modern technology, education, and an understanding of the future. Now, first of all, going into outer space is very simple. It's not a $20 billion, $100 billion NASA program that takes 30 years to get one guy to Mars. No, that is, I won't say it on the air, but BS, with capital B, with capital S. NASA has no plans of going to Mars. I mean, I could walk out my front door and say, hey everybody, I'm going to Mars. Tomorrow I'm going to go to Mars. That's about, you know, NASA is just, they're looking for money. But the other thing is, they can churn out 30 years of doing nothing, of just having artwork and never do a thing, and then squander that time and all that money and all those resources not doing anything. It's absolutely absurd. But remember that that's the entire point, is to squander your future and prevent you from going there. Remember that in the Middle Ages, they taught the flat earth theory to the general public. This came right out of the Catholic Church. Why did they do that? When fully knowing that the earth is round and spherical, and it was measured going all the way back to 200 BC, the Greeks knew the earth was round and they actually measured it. Columbus knew it, the Queen Isabella and Ferdinand, they knew it. Everybody in the royalty knew the earth was round, but they taught to the common man that the earth was flat. Why did they do that? Because people thought, well, gee, if I sail out in the ocean too far, I'm going to fall off the edge. There's fire-breathing dragons. Man, they had everything thrown in there to scare these people. So it was mental containment. That's what NASA is. They're keeping the public mentally contained from ever thinking about going into outer space. And so anyway, what I'm telling you is that going into outer space is relatively easy. Building space stations in outer space, relatively easy. Capturing materials in outer space to build with, relatively easy. But the NASA has this program where all materials for outer space have to be manufactured on Earth at great expense and then shipped up into outer space, and then everything has to come from Earth. Totally incorrect concept of what you have to do as far as Earth. But see, if you create an autonomous space station, put people on it and send them away, never to come back and never to depend on Earth, hey, there's no profit in that. So the question is, what am I doing? What's James McCanney doing about this situation? It starts with education. First, you have to get the people away from the money god, away from the cities, into a lifestyle where they can think, where they can develop, and then let them understand that all of the technology comes with education. That we sometimes think of the, you know, like the current space program, all of the high technology out in California and these factories and aerospace corporations, etc. Let me tell you something. I'm familiar with the Russian space program, and they do it quite simply. They develop very good technologies. They've had far superior space program than the United States, and they don't have this aerospace military industrial complex machine corporations involved. Over the past 5 years, Putin has put a certain amount, but a very limited amount of money into technology development that's very much spearheaded at neutralizing the American military machine. And he's done it quite successfully. Not like when, during the Reagan era, Russia spent everything. They were collecting eggs to pay for their military programs, and they literally broke the country. It destroyed Russia. Putin has brought back that country is now moving away from the central banking communities, is aligning himself with other BRICS nations and quite a few other nations besides the BRICS nations. And basically, the United States is being left out in the cold while our government is spending ridiculous amounts on military, and it's not good military. The Russians have already proven they can neutralize our military with new technologies that they have, literally can neutralize our military in the air and on the ground in outer space. And there's nothing that the United States can do about it. We're so far behind technologically in the area of aerospace. And anyway, the whole reason for doing that is to simply neutralize the United States. Look at in Syria. The Russian went in and bombed ISIS, the CIA, Mossad-created terror organization, supplied them with arms, gave them free rein to take over country after country. They were in Syria. Russia went in at the invitation of Assad, the president of Syria, and in 2 weeks' time destroyed the oil fields, the tanker trunks, the munition depots, etc. anyway, I'm not going to go into that whole thing, but the whole point is those countries are putting their emphasis on exactly what I am talking about. Putin has taken vast areas of Russia, and he said, okay, go people, develop, become agrarian, develop small parcels of land. He understands that that is the future. Along with that, I guarantee you, will come education, high technology, being attuned to the future and understanding that Russia will be going into outer space in a big way, because now they can live freely without being worrying about being attacked by the West, because they have the technology that will... It's not offensive weapons. They did not develop offensive weapons. In other words, to try and, you know, we bomb them, you bomb us, everybody bombs everybody else. What they did is they developed technology to neutralize the American military threat, and then now they can go about their business, and they do it electronically. So the United States came into Syria with cruise missiles about a month and a half ago. Not a single cruise missile from the U.S. got to its target. The Russians were able to take them all out of the sky, boom, just like that. So, but the point is that on the home front, Putin is taking vast amounts of land and telling the people, go occupy this land, develop it. It's in small parcels. It's not in big 600-acre or 1,000-acre or mega farms like in the United States. It's not corporate farming. It's big enough for a family to go out there, start, you know, build a house out of the trees that are there. I mean, this is what they are doing in Russia. What I am talking about, Putin sees this as the future. So I'm not the Lone Ranger talking about this. In the United States, we have a little bit different system. The government isn't giving away land, but right now land prices are very low. So if you don't already have a place, get one. Take, you know, $5,000, $10,000, whatever you can scrape together, $20,000 if you have it. Go out and buy some land. Get if there's a little cabin on it, that's even better, because you can start to live there and spend more time there right away. If not, drag a little, get a little used trailer of some kind, or take it out there and live there. I know a lot of people who are doing this. A lot of people. I stopped living in that system, in that monetary system, and of course I still have to operate in that. My water filters, etc. I still operate in that monetary system. But as far as me, James McCanney, I have not operated in that system for years. I have been off the grid. I don't get my water out of a bottle or out of a tap. I don't get milk from the grocery store. I don't get eggs from a grocery store. I don't get any food. None of the food that I eat comes out of a box or a bottle or a can. The food that I eat comes from within 2 miles of where I am at the time. And I travel around the world, and people are doing this. There's a lot of, excuse me, there are a lot of countries where the governments are encouraging their people to live in eco-friendly environments. Not in the United States. They're trying to get everybody, force everybody into the cities, growing corporate farms. The United States is really out of it. So if you're living in the system, I would suggest maybe you go travel a bit. Find out what's going on in the rest of the world. The rest of the world, now a couple of weeks ago I started talking about safe maps. A number of years ago, I don't know if people still do this, but selling safe maps, like, oh, here's a place that's safe and you should go there. Well, there ain't no such thing because you cannot predict all of the factors. All I can tell you is probably don't go near the ocean. That's a pretty safe bet. If there are big tidal waves or anything like that, pretty much anybody living near the ocean is going to be toast. So live inland, live at somewhat of an elevation where out away from major tidal waves. Probably don't live at the base of a volcano. Have a good source of water. Have good source, if you're in a cold climate, trees to burn for fuel. Or if you're in a tropical climate, you know, grow your food, basic food. All your food should come from there or very close by. You know, there are certain factors that you know, so don't worry about this safe zone idea. There are some areas which are better than others, but, and then learn how to defend yourself. I believe I talked about that last week. Get gun training. I'm not going to repeat that. But these are the things you have to do, and remember, foreign countries are doing this as government policy. The United States has enough land in federal forests, etc., that it could literally give it to people, but most of these forests are dying. And with the dying of the trees and the vegetation, are dying the animals. This is being done on purpose. They don't want the United States populace to be able to live independently of the government. This is happening in the United States, and it's on purpose. It's deliberate. So the only thing you can do is get your piece of property, start to control it. And as far as the chemtrail spraying, and yes, that is what it is, chemtrail spraying, and it's real. The government is complicit. Monsanto is complicit. A lot of the a lot of other private agencies and government agencies are complicit. The United States Air Force is complicit with chemtrail spraying, and this is really doing damage. It's not for the benefit of the environment. By the way, they're going to twist the geoengineering effort to try and stop control of climate control into something where they say, oh, gee, now we need chemical spraying. This is what they want to twist this into. This is the control that's being done behind the scenes. They want to twist it and say, now they need chemtrail spraying to control, for example, the methane, increased methane coming from Siberia. Well, that's a natural event. We are coming out of an ice age. Methane increase is a natural byproduct of this. If you look at the dozen or up to 20 glacial periods, ice age periods that the Earth has gone through in the last million years, they are all followed by an increase in methane. That is standard fare. So nothing unusual is happening. The Earth has recovered on all occasions without chemtrail spraying. You do not need chemtrail spraying. And that's where they're twisting this to try and justify chemtrail spraying. So I will say that again. They are going to twist the geoengineering movement to try and convince people that, ooh, chemtrail spraying is good. That's what they're going to try and do. They're going to twist it and turn it into that lie. At any rate, you have to get your piece of property, start developing it, raise your crops in a greenhouse so that when they spray aluminum, your heirloom crops grow properly. And there are things also you can do to neutralize that aluminum that they're spraying. And then use water that's been filtered And for example, my water filters, the GF filters, will take out aluminum. So you want to use those, get 10 of them, put them in a 50-gallon drum, filter the water that goes into your greenhouse from the rain, and you're set to go. You're going to develop great products or food products on your own. So where does this lead to the future? Because eventually when we go into outer space, we're going to have to grow our own food. This is something that you understand. Let me make this simple. Everything you do to live on your own property and take care of yourself, everything you do, you're going to have to do in outer space exactly the same way. Do you understand that? You're going to need food. You're going to need to take care of yourself. That's why I'm talking tonight about putting technology and education. You want your kids to be educated in proper science, not the garbage they're pawning off on the public these days. I've read the textbooks that go into the schools. You would be better off taking those, ripping them up, and burning them in a big pile. And I'm not against burning books, but those books are worthless. The science they're teaching kids today is completely incorrect. It's just garbage. I mean, from the beginning page to the final page, lots of people are using my books for homeschooling. Lots of people, their kids listen to this radio show. And one thing I'm doing, by the way, as part of an effort that I'm working with a number of, let's say, organizations around the world right now, is to bring online and bring up an educational system from like kindergarten, pre-kinder, all the way up to university level. And so this is underway. And so we're going to take the bit of solid science, mathematics, etc., that exists in we were educated with when I was a kid, plus the new science, the new understanding of the electrical nature of the solar system, how weather works, how sun works, how outer space works. And we're going to mold that into a new educational system for students around the world to start studying in all languages. This is underway in the background. And it's something that we'll try and bring online. I've actually already released some of this on my webpage, DVD number 4, the first level, college level, university level astronomy, space science, and astrophysics course has already been released. And just due to my workload, my really heavy workload with the wing generator, with the Windrides project, and with other projects that are going in the background, I just haven't had time to complete that. But that's part of the system, and we're going to start going towards the young ages, like I say, pre-kinder, kinder, first grade, K-12, and putting an educational system together that will provide real science. And this is something that's also based around living in an ecologically friendly environment. So you don't have to go to Los Angeles or San Diego or Oakland or Silicon Valley or whatever to work in a high density, high tech corporation, because I'll tell you something, those people are going nowhere. They are not, I mean, the outer space is not being conquered. The United States space program is really lacking. I've spent a bit of time recently in the Russian space program is something I know about quite a bit about. They are very advanced from what the United States is doing. The United States is so far behind in space, and there never even was a space race. The Russians were so far ahead. I actually have a posting on my webpage a couple weeks ago dealing with that, about the space shuttle program in Russia, specifically with the space shuttle program of Russia, which was copied by NASA, no less. During the 10 years while we were waiting for the Saturn V mission after the alleged Apollo program, 10 years with nothing in space. I mean, it's so pathetic what's going on in NASA, or what's not going on. But anyway, the point is that we're going to get away from that. if there are states that want to stay associated with the federal government, put their money into that big pork barrel program that doesn't produce anything, go for it. You know, be part of that. But there's a young generation of really smart, talented scientists, and we're going to direct them away from government programs, because right now that's the only game in town. That's the only employer, is some kind of government-supported program. We're going to show people, young people, talented young people, that that's not the route to go. That through private industry, through private development, and, you know, here's one great example of this succeeding. Public funding, crowdfunding it's called, or public funding of enterprises, is becoming extremely successful. That is, people get money because they have a great idea and they're going to succeed. And so I'm working in the background also to make sure that young people have a place to go when they get out of school, when they get out of college or university or engineering school or trade school, whether they're a welder or anything else. Those people have a place to go to be successful in their career without signing some kind of non-disclosure ownership papers that the government is going to have, and then they strong-arm these young people to never be able to work any place again. This is absurd. This is why the states once again have to break away. The entire future of humanity depends on the states breaking away from the federal government, breaking the back of the federal government, or that corporation that calls itself the federal government, and providing a future for the citizens, and especially the young people, because I think it's safe to say I consider myself another good 30 years until I step into my next 30-year cycle in my life. I'm planning to be around for a long time. I plan on redirecting. And this is happening right now in the background. A lot of things are happening in the background to redirect the human race. And so when you see me attack problems like the energy problem with the wing generator, the water problem with the large-scale water filters which are coming online, the encouragement of people to break away from the monetary system, also supporting carrot bars, which is a method for you to invest in gold in small amounts. The Via Veinte is something, too, I picked up. It was very intentional because, unfortunately, in the United States right now, people, if you go and you make a big salad and you buy the great vegetables, they all look wonderful at the store. Hey, there's hardly any nutritive value in that at all. People are malnutritioned in the United States. They don't have enzymes. Their food comes out of a box or a can full of mercury poison and aluminum poisoning. It comes out of a container, some kind of plastic container. When I go into a grocery store, I look up and down the aisles, and it's like, this isn't food. This isn't food. This is processed GMO grain, primarily, in some form with sugar and spices on it of some kind. But it's terrible. It's terrible food. It's full of chemicals. The meat is terrible. Remember, foreign countries will not buy meat products from the United States. They've been outlawed. Most countries, Russia just banned GMO food. Not in the United States. They won't even label. They won't even let you see what's labeled as GMO food in the United States. It's horrific. So there's, you know, you're not going to cure this problem. I'm not going to cure this problem. The only thing to do is simply walk away. That's the solution. And the more people that walk away and the states walk away, then we can start turning towards the future. So regarding modern technology and education, living in a primitive, eco-friendly world, and by primitive, I mean not living in that modern suburban house with all of the infrastructure coming into it. Because one day when the electric gets turned off, when the water gets turned off, or the water becomes too polluted to even drink, you know, that's not a lifestyle anymore. The United States is the number one cancer country in the world. Why? Because of all the chemicals that go into food production, all the chemicals that go into the water, the pharmaceuticals. The water tables are full of pharmaceuticals. That's why my water filters also are designed to take out pharmaceuticals, heavy lead, metal, aluminum, mercury. All of this stuff has to be taken out of your water for you to simply take a glass of water and drink it. Fluoride, arsenic, it's just unbelievable what's in that water. It looks clear when it comes out of the tap. Plus, when you shower in this, it's terrible for you. I mean, because your skin is the biggest organ of your body, it absorbs all of these chemicals. What can you do? Just walk away. Even if you got bills, just walk away. Call up the bill guy, say, hey, I'm not going to pay you anything. I'm leaving. You know, you can call all you want. Sayonara. And that's what you do. You know, because the only thing they can do is call the telephone number and try and harass you. Just get up and leave. Get up and leave. Get, like I say, take a few weeks, pull together all the money you can from, you know, whatever you can, find a place to buy, go out there and just pray to God that that's a place that's right for you. Make sure it's got a water supply. And even if it were in the middle of the desert, if you have a water supply, you can make it green. You can have a greenhouse. You can grow crops. And within a couple of years, by building up the soil in your greenhouse, you'll be producing crops like crazy. So at any rate, this is the message for today. Remember, the last 3 weeks have been a special three-part series on what I call free living. And remember, last week I also talked about stress-free. So not only monetarily free, free from the stress of modern-day life, from those bills, from the bill machine, from the monetary system. And check out the states that are ready to leave the union, because believe me, this is where it's happening. Lots of people, let me insert this here, lots of people, I mean, we're talking, you know, I don't have a real number of people who have simply left the United States. Do I recommend that? That depends on the person. If you're not of the mindset to leave the United States, then find a piece of property in the United States and go there. Just get out in the country and use your yard, get a greenhouse. I don't care where you are, you can grow enough food. I once went to a farmer's market, and this Filipino woman had all these vegetables there. It was beautiful. Big cucumbers and every type of vegetable that you could imagine. And so I said to her, you must have a very big garden to produce all of this. And this guy next to me goes, no, she does that in her backyard. This woman knows how to work a garden. And every week she would be there with all of this produce. And I thought, man, this woman's got a mega garden going. And the guy goes, nope, she does that in her backyard. A backyard garden can produce more food than you can eat. And then in the fall, you get those mason jars, can it. There's a dozen ways, or dry it. That's another way. You know, in the fall, you start to get the wood fire going. Put some cookie sheets on top of the or grid work or screens or something, and dry your fruits and vegetables. Drying is an excellent way to save food. Actually, drying food is one of the best ways. It has the highest nutrient content when it's rejuvenated. That's more than canning. That's more than pickling, more than any other form of preserving food. Drying food is the simplest, most long-term way, and it's also very simple. Once you get it dry, you pack it in containers, and it's good for a very long period of time. It also is the best for maintaining over a long period of time. So drying food is just one of the methods. These are all things that you should be learning how to do. And let me tell you something, my own experience of a number of weeks ago. I was with a family, and they went out and picked a certain crop that was being ready for harvested at the time. Everybody sat around the table. We had to clean the product. and put them into categories, kind of the better, the middle, and the worst. And the worst got cooked up right away, and then part of it consumed and part of it put in containers. But the very good stuff got saved. We were able to dry it and then save it. And so anyway, but the whole idea is that it was a real experience. Now, this was the kind of family social experience that you would have had 100 years ago. You know, everybody sits down and you talk and you're having a good time and everybody's laughing. And it's just something that is missing from modern society. When you go to that grocery store and boxes, rows and rows of boxes, let me tell you something. That is not food. I don't know what it is. It ain't food. And the biggest part of my talk tonight is to let you know that when you go back to your place, you get your land, you start living there, remember that online, start using my books and start studying them, get the kids to studying them. And what we're going to do is come on with a complete educational system to bring modern technology, education, and bring this this world into the modern era in a way. Now, you got to understand, when Putin is giving this land away in Russia, they're doing that. They're developing that with an educational system. And I'll tell you something else. A lot of my work is being taught in Russia, because they have picked up on that a long time ago. That started in the mid-1990s when the Russian scientists at the University of Novosibirsk, I was working with them in the mid-1990s, that work got disseminated amongst the Russian people. They know who I am. A lot of those people, I was at a scientific conference once, it was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the American Geophysical Union meeting. There was an evening event, and I was on a boat. We went on a boat ride out in the canals. And so anyway, after supper, after eating, I went up on the front deck, and I was standing there by myself. A young lady came up to me and started talking to me. She was from Russia. She had a thick English accent, but spoke fairly good English, and was talking to me and explained that she had just gotten her PhD in solar magnetic physics. And so I was talking with her, and I said, "Well, nice to meet you. My name is James McCanny." She said, "I know. I studied your work as a young girl." That pretty much floored me. But that was an indication. Those people know who I am. In the United States, Wikipedia doesn't even have me listed. According to Wikipedia, I don't exist. The West is really a topsy-turvy, upside-down, twisted inside and out, really distorted, sick place, especially the United States. It's time to get up, walk away, and start figuring out what's going on in the rest of the world and improving our lives here. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.